this is the Freedom Fiends. And I'm trying to find my intros, and, you know, I freaking can't, because, you know.
I got the intro here.
It's buried somewhere. Oh, there we go.
Go for it, man.
All right, well, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Inneglacted Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 Fahrenheit to keep a sin flight free.
You want a Fahrenheit with me?
I sure do. Let's do it. We're going to throw down, brother. Anyway, you know, it keeps the statism out of your head. Can you feel it?
Oh, I see what happened.
Yeah, so I feel it.
I told Daniel to just, like, let it go, and he just, I guess you do have to fade it out at the end, but not too soon. Man, this is just, I'm just going to quit radio. I'm just going to do, I should just do, like, 80 minutes of cussing right now until the big sheep's crook comes and we get kicked off radio. I'm kidding, but I feel like that when these happen.
You know, I got to tell you, Michael, I am so torn and conflicted because... I think I've told you this before. There's a certain magic to saying, "Hey, I'm on the radio," because you know, people that normally wouldn't listen to you might actually hear your voice and consider what you're saying for a moment. But man, I really miss podcasting.
Totally agree. Something magical about saying radio instead of podcast.
Yeah, it
seems like there's a different level of legitimacy to. I'm on radio, you know.
Definitely. That sort of thing. Michael, also, you're always claiming to be the podcast that moved to the radio and how unique that is. That's really cool, man. So,
and now you want to
appreciate you being on the radio.
But you're saying now I should move back?
No, now you want to downgrade, man.
Stick with it.
Downgrade like Windows 10 to Windows 7. Windows 7. Anna needs to do so she can get on tonight. You know, there's actually, though, there's a lot of... This is hilarious. There's a lot of radio shows that have become podcasts when they lost the radio show.
Right.
Well, that seems to be the route to go. I mean, you know, but then you'll be deemed fake news, and it's all over from there. You know.
Yeah.
Once you get that label, forget about it, right? Because if the mainstream media and the government say you're fake news. That's it. It's over.
Hey, could I ask a radio hospice question? Did we introduce ourselves?
No, go ahead. Thank you. That's very good radio hospice news.
Yeah, I'm Braden. This is me. Back on the Freedom Fiends after a little while. I think Chandler's here with us too.
Yeah. And this is the first time I've actually spoken to you. I think we've Facebooked back and forth a few times, but this is the first time we've had actual conversations. So good to meet you.
All right, man. Yeah, and we also have Michael W. Dean here as well.
Always.
Yep.
Always.
Yeah, I'm defending a Steve Miller meme right now. I got in trouble for posting a meme that a bunch of people didn't get, and it's that picture of Richard Spencer getting punched. You know, the Nazi who got punched by the commie.
Mm. Oh boy.
And Steve Miller made a meme of that frame shot, and on the commie's arm. Punching him, it says, from each according to his ability, and on Richard Spencer, the Nazi getting punched, it says, to each according to its need, his need.
Oh, man.
You know, which is a quote from, what, Marx? And
yes.
Yeah.
Defending memes.
So you're defending
radio.
It. So I got to ask you a question, Michael, because I told you earlier, I've been kind of tuned out from everything, and I noticed that a lot of the fiends, Lou and Jim, are in particular, are posting this thing with a pigeon and Linux, and making all these weird memes. What's that all about? Have you seen those
pigeon?
A pigeon?
There's
like penguin that's like the mascot for Linux.
No, it's a pigeon, and there's all these weird memes floating around on Facebook. A lot of the Fiend fans and Fiend hosts are posting them, and you know, me being clueless, I have no idea what it is.
Well, here's how clueless I am. I haven't even seen any of these at all, so I have really no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I just caught up on them today, so I'm like, huh, okay. You know, right on. I just observe and don't comment because, you know.
So what else don't we know anything about, Chandler?
Oh, well, I know lots of stuff.
Like fake news, maybe?
Oh, man. This whole fake news thing is killing me. There's an article from Recode.net Apple CEO Tim Cook says fake news is killing people's minds and the tech needs to launch a counterattack. Now, I'll give you...
They're saying they need to censor, basically.
Yes, that's basically what it is. And I'll give you, there's a lot of crap that floats around on the internet. That's why you have to verify. You have to look up multiple sources and see if you can verify and not just post the first thing you see in your social media feed. But to me, what this is, I think it's a little bit of censorship and control, but I also think it's poisoning the well. You have major media outlets in concert with various government organizations that would put... Maybe a fake... Was that a kitty cat?
I heard. Yeah, it was my kitty cat.
Sure. Nah. So anyway, you'd have these organizations that may float out a fake story on social media. I think there was just an instance with one of the Trump cabinet members doing that. And they float this and it goes viral and it's totally fake, and then they say, hey, we've got to stop this fake news. And that's what you call poisoning the well. You put in a little bit of disinformation in with real information to discredit everything. And I think that the powers that shouldn't be are doing that a lot so that they can kind of squash the alternative media who has been really taking them to task. You know, the alternative media, it's such a different world. Okay, I'll give you an example. I get a lot of my news from the internet, from alternative media sources, and I cross-reference. I go to mainstream sites, I go to what you consider conspiracy or alternative sites, and mm-hmm. everything in between. But then when I'm at work, I work with a client, and his provider just has on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC all day. And it's a world of difference what you hear on the TV as opposed to what you read on the internet, you know? So
interesting.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, man. So, I think it's all just leading up to censorship. They don't want alternative ideas and points of view to reach the masses. They fear that they're losing their control on what the narrative is, you know, dictated mm-hmm, every day.
Mm-hmm. So does this have, like, an ideological side to it? Like, is this coming more from the left that's wanting to do all this censoring? Or is it from the right? I'm not even sure.
I don't even think it's a whole left-right thing. I mean,
really?
You know, you have the establishment that has... when it comes to government, you have the deep state, you know, and they put out the left wing and the right wing, right? You get your Rachel Maddows and your Rush Limbaughs, you know, stirring up the masses saying, oh, these evil people on this side and this evil people on that side. But when you look at the policies of government and administrative organizations, they're all the same, you know.
Pretty similar, yep.
I mean, really, you know, when you talk about, like, Obama was supposed to be the hope and change guy, right? And, I mean, we saw how that worked. And then the hairpiece is supposed to be draining the swamp, right? And how's that working? You know, I mean, he's putting in bankers and it's the same old cats, you know, it's no different. So I don't think there's a left-right ideological split. I think it's just the powers that be want to disseminate information through their various outlets, you know.
Okay.
And I don't know, man.
Because there's sort of maybe there's lots of free speech on the internet and they're sort of upset about that and they feel like they can't control the narrative now.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
I hate talking about stuff I'm clueless about, but I mean, that sounds like the whole entire history of the internet. Like, this doesn't seem new at all. So,
well, it's not, but you have people that are like, okay, my dad's 59
and he watches TV, I'm guessing.
Well, yeah, not much, but you know, he has a smartphone now and he has Facebook and Twitter and, you know, smart news and Flipboard and all this stuff. Right. So he's got access to all this information that was previously for most of his generation's lifetime, not available. So, you know, what's he going to turn to? And he's not going to watch the 6 o'clock news for all his media stuff. You know, it's not like it was even, I don't know, when did Ron Paul run? What was that, 2008?
Oh, God only knows. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, 2008. Yeah, okay, so we'll say that, you know, back then, you know, it was all like what was on at the 6 o'clock news. And, you know, I started like saying, hey, have you ever heard of this guy called Ron Paul and this other movement called voluntarism? And he's like, huh? You know, and now this stuff is becoming a little bit more prevalent because you have access to the internet and the powers that be don't like that. You know, it's less control for them.
So somehow they've got the tech companies and like the CEO of one of these giant tech companies on the deep state side, and now the tech companies are the ones pushing for this censoring.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I think the last time I was on the show or the time before, we talked about how Apple and Google and, I don't know, a few other big tech companies were, in response to a statement by the European Union about fake news, they were going to be proactive, you know? Okay. So,
you know, I just don't get it. Like, you, as a media consumer, you need to be smart enough to understand, like, that not everything you're going to read or hear or see is real. And that's been sort of always the case. Like, the National Enquirer magazine, and, you know, they're always finding Bat Boy and Alien Woman or whatever they have on the cover. And it's obviously not real.
But you know that, right? You read that for entertainment. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
All right.
Well, you know, entertainment is. I don't know. I guess.
I feel like as a consumer, you ought to be savvy. And as a consumer, you ought to head to this commercial break as well.
You ought to learn how to navigate the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
To mute the mic. Boop. Boop. Boop.
Freedom Fiends.
Humans.
We are back.
Good to have you back, Brady. You've made it through a whole segment. That's more than sometimes.
Yeah. Boy, I'm
why do you have internet issues?
I was having the worst internet issues, and I was sending bad packets and all kind of terribleness. But
that's awful.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Hopefully those are all solved now, and I can be a regular fiend again.
You know,
Cooncat, you got the echo going there. You got your headphones up a little too loud, or your big fluffy hair is making a gap.
That could be it.
Yeah, pull it back.
I turned the headphones down a little.
You're the Indian of the group. All right, so
yeah, that's for
sure. So yeah, have you guys seen this show called Humans?
Not as of yet.
I live it every day, Michael.
Good answer. Hey, you wrote in a... It's a TV show. It's great. It's a BBC thing where basically, you know, sentient humans are available. I mean, human-like robots are available at Walmart. You know, they'll clean your house and possibly have sex with you and... Somebody uploads a virus that gives them.
Where do I sign up?
sentient abilities. Well, you probably sign up on the Pirate Bay and get the torrent because.
Well, I don't want him to be sentient. That's like having a girlfriend.
Oh, so you want just, you know, the meat bag that doesn't talk? Yeah.
And cleans my house, yeah.
Oh, right. No. This is why we need Diana here.
I know, to keep you in check. Slap you. All right, so, yeah, she's kind of an old-fashioned woman, but I think she'd want you to talk to her.
I would imagine.
Well, I'm just digging myself in here more and more. All right, so... I got in trouble from the PC police today, man. So
I love that.
I'm an editor, well, by the crowd, by people like I posted a meme on Punk Rock Libertarians where I'm an editor that was not lowest common denominator. It was a Steve Miller meme, and his are a little smarter. You have to kind of think for a sec.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a meme of Richard Spencer, the Nazi, getting punched by some commie at a rally, you know, sucker punched. It's a famous thing. Everyone saw the video.
History repeats itself.
Right. So, you know, so and it was a great example of how, you know, the left don't really believe in free speech. They want to use violence for free speech.
Of course they do.
I think Richard Spencer's kind of reprehensible. Some of it makes sense, but, you know, admitting that makes you a Nazi. I'm not a Nazi, but, you know, I mean, some of Hitler made sense, and I don't, boy, that's just going to, no, I mean, like,
you're a great lie. You're going to hell.
Hitler invented this thing called the great lie, which is basically, if you lie all the time, no one believes you. If you mix lies with truth, people believe you, and the bigger the lie with the truth, the more you're believed. It's politics 101. You know, Hitler told some truths. The economy's bad, and war will temporarily fix it. Things like that. You know, in the long term, it hurts it. But, you know, in the short term, it's kind of like taking steroids, you know, for...
Oh, man, we could go down that road for a while.
I know that war is not good for the economy, but it temporarily, you know, raises the meter. It's kind of like holding your hand over a thermostat. It doesn't make the room warmer, but it makes, you know, the meter go up on the thermostat. So
yeah.
So
okay, so you posted this meme.
So I posted this meme, and it was Richard Spencer getting punched, and on the arm of the commie it said, "Each according to his needs," and on Richard Spencer it said, what's the phrase? Oh, it said, "From each according to his ability," on the punching commie arm, and it said, "To each according to his need," on the Nazi. And hundreds of people posted, like, calling me, you know, saying I was a commie, saying I was violent, saying I was a Nazi. I'm none of those things. I don't believe...
They obviously haven't talked to you for 2 minutes,
for free speech. Yeah, they were talking for 2 minutes, but, you know, you shouldn't have to with a meme. A meme is supposed to be self-explanatory, but this is a meme that smart people, not led by the crowd, would get, you know? And I got, like, in trouble for it. Not that the guy from that I got in trouble with at the site, you know, he didn't. He was just, like, led by the fact that he's getting all these downvotes on his site. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of believed the mob, I think.
But you Michael, know, so Michael,
I explained you're talking. It's all good.
You're talking about the internet.
Ooh,
I know. So I mean, I had to go edit. I said edit after everyone had a cow, man. For those who don't get this meme, it's calling people who punch Nazis communist, and I'm not in favor of punching people for their words. Man, that is like, that's where the internet's headed, where even if you still are able to post things like that, you have to write a little short essay so people don't, you know, get mad at you.
And people won't pay attention to it anyway. Short attention spans, yeah, man.
But I got a free speech waiver, so I can...
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Aw, yeah.
So I sent you, check your email there, brother man, Brady.
Also, all right, I'm Brady, checking my email.
You sounded great, and I'm amazed. You're not dropping off. So if it keeps
I'm so happy.
Show, why don't you stick around after the show for a minute, and we'll book you another show at least, if not
cool.
More. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say the new version of Fiend Phone, the anniversary edition, is working much, much better.
Except for Diane.
Well, you know, that's a Windows issue.
You know what it is? She's one of the beautiful people. She has an iPhone, and Fiend Phone knows it and doesn't Yeah.
Those beautiful.
Hey, enough of that here.
Yeah,
because I'm talking to you with a Windows laptop and Fiend Phone, but I'm doing all my media and internet browsing on a Mac. You know, I had messaged you a while ago, and
you didn't catch that. It took you a while. All right, go on.
You know. I'm still waiting for that port to Mac, man. And a port to Linux would be good, but I'll take the port to Mac first. It would just make my life so much simpler.
We gotta just drink some port.
You know, the thing about porting Fiend Phone to Mac is it would cost me like $10,000 to get that done. For like $100, people could buy a PC that works for Fiend Phone. And here's the thing. They should, even if we were ported to other operating systems, you should only be running Fiend Phone on your computer. It should be a dedicated computer. You shouldn't even be surfing the web on it. And people say, well, that sucks. You can surf the web and use Skype. And I'm like, yeah, Skype is for amateurs and doesn't sound as good as Fiend Phone. You know, I mean, Fiend Phone is professional audio gear. It's replacing a $1,500 dedicated piece of hardware called a Comrex. So, you know, if you have to spend $100, the computer that we're all talking on, that we're connected to at GCN, cost me $105, and then I put like a $20 sound card in it. So,
man.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, Windows laptops and desktops are a dime a dozen. And if you have...
Beautiful people don't know that.
I know, man. I know.
Beautiful Mac people are used to having everything done for them. They really are.
Well, see, and you know, that's a generalization, man. You're collectivizing because you could say I'm a Mac person, but you know what? I've hacked my Mac beyond belief, man. I don't want all...
People that have been using Macs for media production since before you could use PCs for Macs, like you, are generally kind of tech savvy. The average, you know, that's probably 10 to 20% of Mac users.
The iPhone generation is not.
Right. People who... started on, you know, got their first computer in the last 10 years, and it was a Mac, and believe Macs to be superior because the ads tell them that, they're wrong, because there was a time...
Those noobs.
There was a time when it was true that... And, you know, I just blame the government, and Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and a feet stink.
And so is Trump.
Worms. Trump.
He smells
He's
like
a hairpiece in his feet stink.
Yeah.
He's a liar, a socialist, and his hairpiece stinks.
Hey, Braden, did you get do you have a Mac or you want, I mean, do you have a Android phone or are you one of the beautiful people?
No, I've got a super hacked out Android phone.
Oh.
Yeah, me too, man. Worms.
Then you need the little app. It's got you on it. Do you have the app?
The soundboard app? I do not have that.
Oh, it's cool, man. I just downloaded it last week.
Yeah, man.
I don't even know which of my audio made it into the product. I should get it. Circus,
not my monkeys. Oh, not that one. Yeah, you're in here. I don't know, man. I think you should download the free app and go through it and find out.
I definitely should, man.
It's called Pocket Alibi. Radio. Yeah. Can you say it on radio?
Cool.
I hope so. Oh, that hurt my ears. Bad audio hurts my ears.
Beautiful piece of work right there.
Yep. So, people that use Macs... Here's the thing about Macs. Like, it is generalizing to say, you know, Mac people want things done for them. But Apple is kind of structured in a way that they want, you know, they want people to be like that. They want people to say,
it's a closed system.
Effortless. It's a closed system. You know,
yeah.
I don't really like the guy that co-invented Linux, not Linus Torvalds, but the other guy. There's three guys, and one of them's an anarcho-capitalist, one's a socialist, and one's a communist.
Who's the guy you interviewed on Anarchy Gumbo? Yeah. He's cool, man. I liked him. It's killing me here. Now. Yeah, me too.
Oh, it's killing me too. I know his name.
Yeah, he is great.
Yep.
He was a gun-toting Linux guy.
It's not even pagan. It's go ahead.
I know that he's one of those people that is known by his three initials, like me. Eric S. Raymond, ESR.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Linux was invented by him. The guy Linux is named after, Linus Torvalds. And this just creepy slob commie from... Torvalds is Scandinavian. Eric S. Raymond is from America, and he's a gun nut. And... let's see, the other guy.
What do you think of Stallman?
Stallman, the guy who eats his toe. Google.
Yeah, no, YouTube, I didn't like him. He's a socialist.
Go on YouTube and search Richard Stallman eats something from his foot.
No, let's not. Video.
Good
no,
God, I do not want to do that.
Okay, so he always wears sandals. It's him at some conference. And I forget if there's like... I've only made it through it once and almost threw up. So, and this is one of the most brilliant people in the world. But this is how weird a lot of people who use Linux are. This guy's their hero. Someone else is talking at this conference, you know, he's on camera and he pulls a scab or something off his toe and puts it in his mouth and chews it up.
Goes for it, man.
In front of 400 people,
that's bold right there, Michael.
That is bold. So, but that guy said one of those brilliant things ever about Apple.
About Steve Jobs and Apple, yeah.
Steve Jobs made jail cool. And that's so true, man. Like, everyone says, oh, it's so free. No, it doesn't play well with others. When I am using Windows, if I get a file from someone on Linux or Mac, the Linux thing I can open, and the Linux people can open anything I send on Windows. Mac people send me files. Half the time I can't open them, and vice versa. It's like...
You see, I don't get that, man, because I'm a cross-platform user, Windows, Linux, and Mac, and I've never had that problem.
Well, because you're not one of the beautiful people.
Touché.
Thank God. I'm one of the ugly people.
I can usually open stuff from people on Macs. They usually can't open things for me. Although, there's also a problem, too, where like...
Well, that's the coding of the system, man. Mac is all Unix stuff, and Linux is different. You know, you have package, whatever. I don't know, man. Derek would be more versed in that.
No, it's intentional.
Go on about your package.
Absolutely intentional. Yeah.
No, I know all about Linux, and yeah, it's similar to Mac, but
it is. Yeah.
You know, good stuff.
Stroke head to tail.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we do. Yes, right.
Yes, with you, with your Mac.
So you have to double-click your package, and then it, yeah.
No, you have to explore your package. You have to explore your package contents. That's what you have to do on Mac.
And you have to install it in the right folder, from what I've understood. You know?
Well, I've never
had...
Is this a dirty conversation, and I just don't get it?
I hope so.
This is about as nerdy, dirty as it ever gets, man. Those are like Linux terms, but used as innuendo.
Are you kidding on me, Brayden?
No.
Jeez, I hope not.
I just think it's funny to make dirty jokes, and I'm a fan of Linux, so I ran with it.
Yeah. I ran.
This is for all the ladies out there right now, Michael, who also dig Linux.
We're like, well, I don't. Sometimes this show is just, I don't get it. All right, so I was wrong. I'm getting out of this conversation. I'm hitting Control Alt Delete.
Okay, moving on.
On Apple. On Apple, I think you throw the computer out the window and go pay $10,000 and buy another one instead of Control Alt Delete.
Some people do. Yeah,
I'm doing that. I'm hitting Control Alt Delete.
It's called Activity Monitor.
I was wrong yesterday. I did something that I warn against because it's bad radio. I say it's okay to go down as many conocentric parenthetical wormholes within wormholes, holes, hypertextual jumps to wherever. As long as you, if you start a story, you come back to it. I mean, even if it's 45 minutes away, you know, you finally say, well,
so you're like Henry Rollins.
Yeah, yeah. Except the one time Henry Rollins didn't do that, and it took me a while to figure out what was wrong, and that's what hit me to this as a need in storytelling. So I was wrong yesterday. I started to say, well, yeah, it's like that lyric in my band Bomb, and then I went and told a story about how Bomb was kicked off of Warner Brothers for wanting to put a swastika on our record before it was fashy, to be fashy. And it wasn't because we're Nazis. It was protesting. We were one of the first bands in 1990. They were putting the parental advisory sticker on the record. Stop that. Don't do that.
Sorry.
It's funny at the start of the show, but, you know, mute your mic, man. That was a particularly gross one. So,
it was my cat.
So I said I was going to, you know, I started to say, let's like the lyric in my band Bomb, and then never said the lyric. So the lyric is, and we were talking about, like, making women want you like a drug. And I said, it's like this song in my band Bomb. I want to be your heroine. I want to be the one you'll always miss. I want to be your razor blade. No, wait, it was anyway, something like that. I don't even know my
along those lines.
I can't remember them. But neither could John Lennon. Not Sam John Lennon, but hey, I won. I'm alive. He's not.
Ooh, burn. Take that, burn. John Lennon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So you've closed the loop now. You've returned back to the lyric, and yeah, you've closed the parenthetical. That's good news.
Yeah. Hey, I got one. How come, have you guys noticed that a lot of stuff that you get these days, especially mail order from China and anything that's electronics, kind of smells a little,
yes,
like oil when you get it.
Yes.
It, yeah, like oil. I definitely noticed that, man.
I don't think people heard because I think you talked over me. It smells like oil when you get it. My theory is it's the diesel from the ships, you know, the giant tankers that, like, the smell permeates into all the shipping containers, because everything I get, I have to, like, lay out and let it air out for a while, like, especially anything that's foam, like microphone windscreens. But somebody told me it's the smell of child labor. What do you guys think?
I guess I always assume it just came from the factory. Like, whenever they're making whatever it is you buy, it gets some oil on it from the manufacturing process.
It's that whole, everything is derived from petroleum grossness.
And we'll be back.
That's what it is.
After this trip to the market. Meow, meow. Meow?
Meow.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun, too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi. A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
Freedom Fiends.
It is.
Got Braden here. Chandler's over there. Michael Dean's on the line as well. Yeah. Having a good time.
Empty beer bottle. Yeah. Oh, that's just a horrible sight. Horrible. Oh, I see how it is.
Each person gets one per month.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, that works for me because I'm only on once a month.
No. Chandler, he was...
You used two.
He was demonstrating how the government works. It's do as I say, not as I do.
Ah, yes, yes. There we go.
I like having. I've missed having Braden on, man.
All right. Well, now for something completely different. On ArsTechnica.com, they've got an article here entitled "Hedge Funds Reportedly Want to Buy Mt. Gox Bankruptcy Claims." This kind of piques my attention. So for those who aren't familiar, Mt. Gox was a Bitcoin website that kind of went under in a huge scandal a couple years back. And apparently there's like 200,000 missing Bitcoin. So a lot of people lost a lot of money.
Ouch.
Yeah. So reading on in the article here, it says at least four hedge funds have begun buying or offering to buy claims from the thousands of people who lost bitcoins when Mt. Gox collapsed 3 years ago, according to the Financial Times. I don't know. You guys are sort of Bitcoin people. Is that does that square right with your understanding of how this might all work?
I can think, well, you know, like when you said like they're trying to buy Mt. Gox, I was like, what, the domain name? But yeah,
right.
The claims, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they're trying to pull some, I guess it'd be a legal scam would be a way to describe it. Like, I'm wondering if they buy the claims and, like, you know, the right of the company or something, if they can file an insurance claim on it.
Yeah, do they get, like, can they get the missing Bitcoin after? Yeah.
No, I think it's more that
maybe they want to post a loss for that year.
Oh goodness, that would be
and get a tax write off from the government. Wouldn't that be great?
No, I think it's more like
I've solved the economy. Let's go home.
Well done. Well done. No, I think it's more like in the Revolutionary War, at the end of it, the citizens had all this worthless money, so the bankers offered to, like, pay pennies on the dollar for it, and then they turned it in for full face value with the government. So
there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. That sounds more like what we've got going on here. Like, these guys are going to buy Bitcoin for pennies and then somehow, I'm not sure how, end up with the real deal at the end of it all.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny because the government still has not embraced blockchain technology. They're still like,
it hasn't.
Well, that awful government, thing called the government
and banks are using blockchains, but it's
yeah, but they're trying to co-opt it.
It's, you know what it is? It's if you've seen Mr. Robot, it's, what do they call the thing in there? E-money, e-cash, e-coin, something like that. It's their,
I still haven't watched that yet.
It's the like government run, like it's basically Bitcoin, a different blockchain, like something like Bitcoin. It's a cryptocurrency run by the Federal Reserve. And, like, they're actually seeing it. Like, you know, this is your last week to turn your cash in and exchange one-to-one for e-cash or e-coin or GovCoin or whatever it's called.
GovCoin.
You know, that's perfect.
You know, they're trying to be hip because it's on the blockchain. But, you know, with Bitcoin-type blockchains, everything is trackable, too, you know.
Yeah, but that's
BIPCoin. You have to use BIPCoin if you want to be untraceable.
BIPCoin.org. That's a misnomer to like the JP Morgan and Chase and all these groups that are saying they're embracing big blockchain technology. Yes, it is blockchain, but it's their variant.
It's not.
Yeah, no, it's their variant of blockchain, and that doesn't make it okay. You know,
here's the bottom line on that. I nailed it in one sentence. It's not a real blockchain if you need to see my driver's license for me to use it.
Worms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Driver's license, what's that?
Yeah, there's actually some,
meow.
There's actually some...
Meow! Meow!
I hear it.
No meows.
This is a long one. There's actually some government that's, that's like putting land deeds on that. On a
gross. Yeah, no. It doesn't work.
Like if you then who needs the government then?
Decentralize all the stuffs. I'm telling you, man.
It's harder than you think. I try to adopt it. It's harder than you think.
Well, no, it is.
To make a blockchain that doesn't need any outside to do anything more than money. It's hard to do that without outside intervention.
Yes.
Without someone tending it. That's what I found. As someone who's in the world and owns a co-created a crypto.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Meow. Meow, meow, meow. Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends. Trigger warning. Broadcasting to the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibBear 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire in your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Yeah, this is the Fiends.
I have a BIPCOT flag in my game room in my basement. It's pretty rad. Michael Dean sent it to me.
Right on, man.
You can buy those too if people want on Freedom Fiends site. It's usually in the show notes. It's one of the links in every show note of that all of the Fiends merch and flags and BIPCOT merch and things are now on sale. They were $16 with shipping. Shipping takes like a month. Actually, that's the faster shipping, I think. But they ship from
China. I got mine in like 2 days.
Yeah, because I shipped it to you after waiting a month.
Oh, okay.
And if you're just joining us on the radio, that's Michael W. Dean speaking. Braden is here. That's me speaking. We also got Chandler on the line.
It's not like NPR there for a sec.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends.
Welcome.
I'm Michael Dean.
On the line today, we have a Mr. Michael W. Dean.
I don't think NPR takes calls, do they? Oh, I think they do on their car show. I don't know. I'm going to get kicked off my own show for knowing too much about NPR. All right, so you guys like Pink Floyd, right? That band, the Pink Floyd?
Yeah, I think so.
Which one is Pink?
Just slightly. They were originally called the Pink Floyd, but you know what they were called before that?
No.
Before they ever did a record. They were called the Architectural Abdabs, and they met at architecture school. Now, they met at art school or architecture school? I can't remember, but they were called the Architectural Abdabs, and I've known that for about 40 years, but I never knew what an abdab was because they didn't have Google 40 years ago. So I just looked up abdabs. It's a British term for terror, the frights, nerves, or anxiety or irritation. So the architectural anxiety and irritation is what Pink Floyd wanted to be.
Have you ever heard the rumor of how the name Pink Floyd came to be?
Yeah, it's two bluesmen. It's Floyd Council and Pink somebody.
Yeah. And Sid Barrett was holding both albums in his hands, tripping on acid, and each of them melted in half. And he saw Pink and Floyd. And he was like, oh, that's a good name. No, man. Hey, you know, I just checked out Roger Waters' The Wall, 2015. I think it's on. Oh my God.
I've seen that. It's awesome.
Oh, it blew my mind. I mean, I actually have a, I think it's called the Royo. It's like fan, you know, compilations or whatever of The Wall. And it's all different sources to make a complete Wall concert. And that's really cool. But then you watch Roger Waters' The Wall and you're just like, wow. Oh, man.
Yes, they were studying architecture. They also had another name between the Architectural Abdabs And this is pretty funny. They're called the Mega Deaths.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
You want to check out if you can find it, and it's I don't know, it wasn't too hard to find years ago, but check out Google Pink Floyd, The Man, The Journey, and it's basically a live album that was broadcast on Dutch or Swedish radio, and it was never released officially, but it's on the bootleg circuit. It's a soundboard recording, and it's all early versions of Pink Floyd songs that it'll blow your mind when you listen to it. You're just like, wow. It's amazing. The Man, The Journey.
So this has been a long way of getting around to talking about architecture. What does that say? Talking about music is like dancing about architecture. You ever heard that one?
No.
I have, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's writing. Writing about music is like dancing about architecture. And I've heard it attributed to a lot of people. I think Frank Zappa, and I think I've heard it attributed to... Elvis Costello, Brian Eno, and I think it might have originally been some jazzman from back in the jazzman.
A jazzman. I like jazzman. That. That's a good term.
Yeah, jazzman. That'd be funny if that was someone's last name, Jasmine, like the flower, and it was actually because his great granddaddy had been a jazzman. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so most of the Freedom Fiends, two of the Freedom Fiends have jobs. Braden, who's on tonight, is an architect, and Randy England is an attorney, and the rest of us are homeless and do the show from the local library.
Yep.
Good. Yeah.
We go to the all-night library and use their internet and talk real quiet with headphones
on. Or our mother's basement.
Yeah. Naturally. You know, we're these people, we're the kind of people like, who is that guy we're talking about? Danny Blodgett, the guy that that doxed that woman and got her in trouble, wanted to get her fired. Because she, some so-called libertarian. You know, he lives with his mother, I found out. And he will live with his mother until she dies and probably for a few weeks after.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
Yeah, that's a South Park joke. Bobby Hill, like, befriends some, like, 30-year-old dude who's into magic with a K.
Bobby Hill is king of the hill, man.
Yeah, yeah, and Hank Hill gets upset that Bobby's hanging out with a 30-year-old weirdo. He says, you don't need a crystal ball to see that guy's future. He's going to live with his mother until she dies and probably for a few weeks after.
Awesome.
Oh, I love King of the Hill.
I think that's a reference to Psycho, but that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's got to be a reference to Psycho.
But I could see this guy, Danny Blodgett, living with his mother until she dies and probably for a few weeks after. All right, so we're going to talk about, since we have someone who actually has a job on the Freedom Fiends.
Oh, man, the pressure.
Yeah, so we want to talk about how the government gets in the way of everything, which I think is kind of the fiend, the whole theme of the Fiends. But specifically, so I saw this cartoon one time. It said Punk Accountants, and it was from The New Yorker, and it's from like 1977 or 78. And it was like, it said Punk Accountants, and it was this picture of these two skinny dudes with cheap suits and skinny black ties, like sitting in an office with their feet up on the desk with a calendar from like 1959, but it was now. And like there's a switchblade stuck in the desk, nothing on the desk, and like a little fire in the wastebasket. And that's Punk Accountants. So are you a punk architecture dude?
Man, I'm about as punk architecture as you can get. So yeah, we've got the switchblades and the fires and the trash cans, everything
so
like
you've,
that.
You work at a firm, but first of all, can you temp as an architect? Is that a thing?
No, that's not really a thing.
Okay,
you can you could draft maybe, which is just drawing. It's not doing the pencil, thinking part of it.
A pencil monkey, right?
Pencil pusher, yeah.
Yeah, and they in animation, the people that just do the coloring, they call paint monkeys. I think that's.
Oh cool. Man, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You could be a draft monkey temporarily, probably, but
yeah.
If you need brains to solve problems related to architecture, you need somebody better than a temp.
How soon will you be replaced by sentient robots, and will they be attractive and have fully functional sex organs?
We can only hope.
Let's see. What time is it now? Okay, I'm going to guess in about 10, 10 to 11 minutes, that should occur.
Well,
you know, speaking of jazz, you said something funny, Braden, in an email the other day to me. You said that, you know, yeah, we're doing the show at a jazz noon. And I'm like, what's a jazz noon? You said midnight. Did you make that up? Yeah. That's funny.
No, man, that's an old term used by the jazzmans of old.
I've heard jazz, like a jazz five means like, you know, 5:45 or something. But
I've only heard like jazz noon is midnight because, you know, they're up all night playing and, you know, they don't go to bed till late. So
yeah, well, it's kind of like
the Freedom Fiends.
It's a nicer way of saying CPT, which is, you know, communist people time or something. people that don't show up on time, they used to say.
It is. Yeah. So, yeah, actually...
Actually, communist people show up on time or they get killed, but it's colored people time, but I don't know if I can say it on the radio. All right, okay. I don't agree.
Well, I'm glad you just
colored people are incredibly punctual, and they all have jobs as attorneys and architects.
There you go.
Yeah.
They don't know what color I am, Michael. I mean,
you sound black to me.
That's good.
I saw a picture of you, but you might have been fibbing.
I identify as an old black woman architect. So, you know, I got that going on. I'm
64th African, and I have the documents to prove it.
I am jealous of that, actually. Well, yeah, man. So getting back to.
Because actually, like 1/3 of American Europeans are part African. So you might
really
you sounded right, you know who you sound like? You sound to me like that comedian. Who's that comedian? He died. He was great. You know, the one that died of drugs. Yeah. But the one that died of drugs.
Chris Farley.
No, the skinny one that looked like your dealer.
John Candy.
Nope. He was skinny. Mitch Hedberg. You sound like Mitch Hedberg.
Sounds
totally black. But he sounds like 70s black, you know?
Yeah.
Like he'd have an afro and play in a funk jazz band or something. He'd be a jazzman.
Cool, man.
You sound like a jazzman.
Cool. I'm a fan of the jazzmen and their lifestyle choices, so yeah. I take that as a compliment.
Yeah. You see, you're shooting smack right now. And you're
not dare I ask, what do I sound like?
You're the Indian of the group.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
Redskins.
So, yes, soon in our future, robots will be doing large portions of my job. Probably. And And if I have anything to do about it, I will be on the leading edge of that, causing it to occur and making the money that is to be made by doing that.
Let me ask you this. So you'll be maintaining those robots?
I will be training and deploying and lording over the architecture robots for sure.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, what would be the legal ramifications of having a computer program that just takes, you know, every blueprint for an office building ever and just kind of intelligently found the best parts of it and mixed them together? That'd be legal.
Yeah, man. Actually, Michael, that's super insightful. Like that, that is... Man. That is exactly how it's going to go. It's going to just be replaced by algorithms that will generate these great blueprints.
That's why everyone should go see the show Humans for a really good view of, you know, what's going to happen in 5 years.
And I will answer your question when we get back from the break.
Cool.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Hey, man, yourself.
Hey, man.
again.
Worms.
Worms. So, we're talking to Architectural Abdab, Braden X. You should turn them on.
Yes, that's me.
Yeah, throwing a nervous fit about architecture all night long, baby. All right, so fit me, baby. Give me some more, drop some more mad scientists about architecture and the government.
Yeah, before the break, you were asking, like, what the legal ramifications of letting robots do architecture would be, and the government would have a big issue with that, and they wouldn't even allow a building to get built that way. So the way typically it works is, like, there's some fancy architect guy who's got something called a stamp, and he graces the blueprints with his stamp when they're done, and that means they're legal and binding and able to be built and yada, yada, yada. And the architect assumes any liability related to that building design when he stamps it. So if you've only got robots doing it, the government would be no bueno in that situation.
That's a whole weird, like, emerging class of ethics. They actually address that in the show Humans in the second season.
Okay.
A robot, and the robots look like people. I mean, if you kind of look at them, talk to them for a while, you can kind of tell they don't totally pass the Turing test, but if you probably had a few beers, you'd think they're human. And one of them, like, basically they're starting to become sentient, like a few of them here and there, like maybe 1% of 1% of 1% of the, you know, several million in the world that are working in people's houses as their maids and sex bots and childcare sex bots. I mean, no, there's sex bots at night and then childcare in the day, you know, like a maid of old. And
sure.
You know, before the liberations.
And, I think they used to call them wives.
I think they call them,
sorry, that was a bad joke, apparently.
Mistresses. But so one of these robots kills a person, which has never happened before, and then it escapes, and it's on the run, and it actually goes to an attorney and says, you know, I want you to go to the robot council and tell them I don't want to be, you know, I'll turn myself in, but I don't want to be, you know, thrown in the trash heap like they would normally do if a robot, quote unquote, malfunctioned and performed outside of its programming. I want to be tried like a person for murder, and I'll face the consequences. And, you know, you could see where this is going. They're trying to set, you know, this robot is willing to be sentenced to death to, you know, to make a precedent for robots that they have human rights. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So imagine a robot doing architecture. Your building falls down. You'd have to sue the robot in people court to get your money back. Well, robo court.
Wouldn't people court eventually be run by robos and be robo court? Where does this end, people?
Man, this is a complicated issue, Michael. I think we're really digging in now.
Now what if the houses built by the designed by the robo architects are built by nanobots that could turn things into gray goo by replicating too much? You know about that theory?
Yeah, dude, I love those whole concepts. The gray goo, that's one of my favorite sci-fi tropes.
I saw a meme the other day that had a drawing of a nanobot, and it said, you know, it was like a red and white and black warning sign like you'd see, you know, next to heavy machinery in an office. And it said, like, only you can prevent gray goo. And then smaller letters it said, like, you know, please be sure to include the replication limit code when you release nanobots into the environment.
Yeah. Those are called, what are those called? Von Neumann machines, I think, where they can self-replicate.
Yeah.
And it kind of takes over everything, just becomes this gray goo. It's wonderful. I think if the gray goo, is taking over, we probably don't have to worry too much about, you know, government enforcing building codes at that point. I think we would have moved past that.
I'm wondering too about where where the nanobots could lead to, because, you know, everything that's created by industry and then taken over by government, like computers, for instance, eventually leaks out to the people. And I think that the beginning of the possibility of nanobots is there now, because really it's basically, you know, you're probably going to make them with 3D metallic printers in a few years, and then
sure,
they'll make more of themselves. So when we have that, does the government have any power anymore other than the power to like nuke all human life and nanobot life to a sheet of glass? You know, I mean,
yeah,
what can't couldn't you have a force field of nanobots over your house so the tax man couldn't come arrest you and you don't pay your taxes?
Oh man, I like that idea. That's very appealing to me. Some kind of like Grey Goo shield.
I don't know if I've ever heard of it yet, but I'm liking it.
I've never heard of that either.
I'm going to start a Kickstarter right now during the break.
A worm's force field.
Check out reprap.org.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of driving your kids to Gigi Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where Gigi took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the Gigiest place on Earth. Gigi always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to Gigi's grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find Gigi Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find Gigi Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating Gigi Allen's face.
Showing in no uncertain terms that all governments are immoral and all politicians want to steal your money and your rights and give you back a little bit in exchange for your vote. So Mitch Hedberg, famed and excellent comedian, faked his death and is now working as an architectural architect
ab-cab.
In Colorado. And it is an ab-cab, as a mad scientist version of an architect in Colorado. So is that too specific? I mean, naming your state, or should I just said the Mountain West?
Well, I mean, you've just outed me as Mitch Hedberg to the whole world. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And an architect. It's terrible.
I might as well just give out your phone number. No, I'm kidding. I would never.
You might as well. Jeez.
I don't have it. No. All right, so I think I'm going to try. I'm going to title this episode, Will Your Robots Comply with the Non-Aggression Principle? Because everyone thinks I'm a alt-right communist. I'm none of those things. And I believe in the non-aggression principle, but not as an absolute, more as a good starting point, and not as the only measure of a man. The whole show last night was about this. The show was called The Non-Aggression Principle is Not Absolute. People thought I was advocating aggression, but I'm not. One of the main, you know, I mean, the two basic points of that whole show were, A, everyone violates the non-aggression principle to some extent, you know, and sometimes from convenience. Like, these people who argue about how many non-aggression principles can fit on the head of a pin all day long on the internet, you know, and most of them live in their mother's basement, like Danny Javier, whatever his real last name is. those people spend all their time arguing on the internet about that because A, they don't have jobs, or, you know, don't work full time because they live with their parents, and B, once you've gone out in the world and had to support yourself, I think you're a real libertarian. And I would almost say that it's hard to be, I wouldn't say it's impossible. I think Nick Hazelton was a real libertarian and anarcho-capitalist voluntarist. Yeah. Before, while he still lived with his parents, but yeah. You know, that was while he was dropping out of the school that his dad was the principal of. Like, wrap your head around that.
Yeah, it's amazing, huh?
Yeah, and he's, you know, we encouraged him to drop out of school, and there's probably people screaming at their radio right now, but he's better off for it, man. He got a lot more done. He started a business. He just turned 18, and he's running a successful, profitable business selling yak jerky. Yes, he is farming yaks. And hey, girls, he's single. So if you want to, you know, want to date a yak farmer long distance, or you live in Oregon. So the other basic takeaway from your last night's show, and we're bringing this into tonight's show, is that the abiding by and believing in and talking nonstop about the non-aggression principle is not the only measure of a man. And I sum that up by saying I would much rather live with statists as neighbors who are decent people and good neighbors and kind and polite and helpful than live next door to straight up anarcho-libertarians who are creeps, you know, and like blast totally, loud man. Music and won't turn it down if you ask nicely at, you know, at midnight. And
yeah, man,
you know, just,
I agree. I would rather have that same neighbor.
Yep. And I have those neighbors. I'm actually 52, cool, and my wife and I are the youngest people on our block. It's great. Our neighbors.
You're the new kids on the block.
Mostly retired, which is really nice. It's the quietest house I've ever lived in. It's made of brick. Yeah, I mean, I could go down the basement and play electric guitar and sing at the top of my lungs at 2 in the morning and not wake anyone up, including my wife, upstairs, which is great. I've always wanted to live somewhere in a recording studio.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Michael, because I've agreed, like, the non-aggression principle is cool starting point, but, you know, anytime you kind of have an absolute in your life, it's likely to break down at some point. So
you also get, also those people love and get religious about it to the point.
Yeah, that's trouble.
Like, they can't, you know what I've noticed, and it's true with a lot of newly minted libertarians, especially young
there
people
you go.
Who just discover it, and they're like, they remind me of how I was and how most people are in AA the first month they're sober. Like,
totally, man.
They think the world needs AA. They think the world needs to be sober. All they do is like quote platitudes.
To people who don't want to hear it, yeah.
To people who don't need to hear it, even.
Right,
people
right.
Do, but aren't ready. So the thing about those people, too, is they often don't have any sense of humor. Like, I get yelled at for memes that are kind of like mid to advanced level libertarian knowledge memes. Like, state speech is hate speech is kind of a mid-level one. Like, newly minted libertarians will yell at me for that and say, there's no such thing as state is hate speech. Well, of course there's not. That's part of the joke. But, you know, and, you know, people who annoy me are also not literally worse than Hitler, but I'll say it. So, anyway, I digress. I want to talk about architecture. So, how do you feel about housing, zoning? Like, do you think you're too old to build anything anywhere?
You know, one of my favorite sayings I've ever heard that's like related to that is Adam Carolla says, it's like, if you're a fan of the government, try to start a business or build a building tell me how much of a fan you are after that.
I know. I remember Adam Carolla was kind of a lefty until he started like adding an addition on his house in the Hollywood Hills.
Right.
I remember that. I remember hearing it the couple times I heard his show. He was deep in that. And he was like, you know, I'm pretty much a liberal, but you know what? I'm starting to understand conservatives the more I deal with the government.
Yeah, so that was kind of like his road into seeing the excess of government power in that particular realm, right? So, you know, there's lots of realms where government has no business being, but definitely when it comes to buildings and zoning, like you were just asking, building codes, they go so far. It's ridiculous. It's much further than their reach in other areas of life. And so as an architect, working and doing architecture, I feel like I have sort of this unique knowledge of sort of the ridiculous hoops they make you jump through. And if sort of lay people, not non-architect people, as I like to call them, if they really knew like how much government is all up in your business when you try to design a building, like they would probably riot in the streets, to be honest.
Is that part of the reason that houses cost so much?
That is at least half the reason why they cost so much, yes.
Is zoning and not just what the architects have to deal with, but more probably even what the contractors have to deal with, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's all that wrapped in. So the government draws these arbitrary lines on maps, and they say, you know, you can build houses on this side of the line, you can only build businesses on the other side of the line. So they plan their little mini kingdom, and then people like me are supposed to, you know, follow all these rules. So it starts there. So then say you play along and you're like, all right, fine, I'll build my house on this side of the line. Well, they're going to tell you what sort of materials you have to use. They're going to tell you how it has to be built. They're going to tell you how long your shadows can be if they're going to reach over into your neighbor's property. Wow. Like I'm not making that. It's not hyperbole.
Shadows. And we're not absolutely just talking about, like, blocking a view completely, but the shadows. I mean, that's like, that sounds yep. like newly minted libertarians in their mother's home. Like, you know, you shined light through your window into my window when I had my curtain up. You violated yep. the non, you know, that's aggression. Yep, yep. I've actually heard that argument. You know, when I was a kid, I found Jesus for a couple months and then unfound Jesus. But the couple you months I found him? Jesus, yeah. I was like, nonstop, and don't write me if you're a Christian and say there's no such thing as a backslidden Christian and I can help you. I'm going to delete your email. Keep it to yourself. I've no problem with religious people. I've believed in my heart of hearts the arguments, and I no longer do, and you're not going to bring me back there. So when I believed that, I spent more time worrying about the devil than thinking about the glory of God. I mean, I woke up happy every day for about 10 seconds, and then I remembered that Satan existed and, like, went into battle mode with Satan in my mind. I was 15 and smoking a lot of pot, but, you know, so that's kind of how newly minted libertarians are with the, you know, well, if your shadow falls on my driveway, and it sounds like the same kind of nanny people. Those are nanny people. Those are nanny libertarians.
Yep.
And those same kind of people, like, who aren't libertarians, you know, become bureaucrats, non-elected pencil pushers who can ruin lives. Let me ask you this, though. Let me play devil's advocate. So, in the absence of government regulatory, you know, oppression of this has to be here and that has to be built there, what would happen if you know, saved up your whole life and worked and, you know, found your little, you know, 5-acre paradise out in the wilderness and built this wonderful little house where you could live your golden years, you know, last 20 years of your life happily and quietly, and then somebody opened up a, you know, fat rendering plant that smelled so bad it made you want to vomit next door, that didn't actually do any physical harm, but, like, was disgusting and noisy and stinky. Like, what's wrong? Is that okay?
Well, first off, I'd like to point out that in our current system, that exact sort of thing still happens. So it's not like having a giant bureaucracy solves this. But to your question, I don't have a great answer right off the top of my head. I mean, obviously, as the homeowner, you could go over there and, like, file a grievance unofficially and say, you know, can we work something out and install some fans so it blows the other way towards the woods instead of towards my house. I mean, there's no, you're going to have to negotiate with whatever lard factory moves in next door. I don't know a good answer off the top of my head.
You know, one thing that I've heard too about that kind of question, and that's the kind of question that these people who live in their mother's basement spend, you know, 14 hours a day arguing the nuance of, and it's weird when you're arguing, like, how you would organize society if you were libertarian king of the world when you haven't had a job. I think you can't really argue that kind of stuff until you've had a job. And honestly, I don't think everyone has to argue that. And I don't think everyone, to be an ethical and good and effective libertarian, has to be able to answer those questions. You know, the statists love to go to the roads. You know, what about the roads? Well, roads are built by private companies anyway, and they're built with a lot more, you know, graft and over cost through the government. And, you know, the mafia gets involved literally in a lot of places. And
by the way, you gave like a particularly hard scenario there where there's only a scent that's disturbing. There's no actual physical harm. If there was any kind of pollution or anything else,
that
would be
quite
easy to fix. Yeah, I know. You're clever, man.
I know. Yeah, I can play a statist. I can play a smart statist because I used to be one.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Do you want to be able to tell almost anyone, almost anything with only two words? And how about if you could do it without saying a single word? Then you need Not a Guarantee, Wolbert's. The new app that's like Pocket Alibi Lite, in that it's like Pocket Alibi if Pocket Alibi only had two words instead of 200 words. Oh yeah, and if it also played the Wolbert's podcast. Wolbert's, that's our word. Not a Guarantee, Wolbert's, is from Beastlick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, the good people who brought you Bipcoin, Fiendphone, and the best-selling app, Find G.G. Allen's Grave. Log on today at https://play.google.com and get the free Bipcot licensed app, Not a Guarantee, Wolbert's. Do it! Do it! Do it till you're satisfied!
Man, this is live.
The whole thing.
Say what?
Oh, I thought you were just talking to me on the phone, Michael. What?
Oh, man.
For the past hour and 2 hours. Hour and 55 minutes. Yeah. So I thought of a better title, I think, for the show. I was thinking of calling it, what was it? Will your robots comply with the
Nanobots
principle? Nanobots. I got a better one. A nanobot shield to keep out government.
Worms.
That's the title right there. So I was thinking, before you answer the question, is the redemption in the third act? I was thinking the question of, you know, what would you do in a libertarian paradise without government regulation if you built your little rural paradise and then they put in a pork rendering plant that stunk to high hell next door? And, you know, there's actually a Ron White thing about that. He's talking about that there's a paper plant outside of Dallas that when the wind's blowing in the proper direction, something like, you know, 4 million people can smell it. And he said, if that were a noise, they'd make them turn it down. You know, 4 million people could hear a sound, they'd make them turn it down. Whoever they are, they being the libertarians who live in their basement and, you know, too bad they're living in their mother's basement, because they could sure run the world as libertarian president. But here's a thought, too. Like, when statists come up to you, here's some ammo for you. When statists say, well, anarchy wouldn't work because you can't tell me exactly how blank, you know, the military, the roads, courts, whatever, would work without the government. Here's my answer. But those same people expect us to believe government when they make really vague promises. You know, like half the country believes when Trump says, you know, I'm going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it, and it's going to be great, it's going to be fantastic, it's going to be a beautiful wall, you're going to love it. And, you know, it's not going to be cheap, because, and it's going to be, you're going to pay for it, you know, not Mexico. You buy tariffs from Mexico. So people believe vast claims of the government and it never really turns out the way they promise. So I don't think that we predicting how something that's never really happened would work.
Right.
Would work perfectly when the existing system can't even explain perfectly how they're going to do things and then do them. So my question, you got an answer to the question of what would you do when the pork rendering plant moves in next door to your little paradise?
Yeah, totally, man. It's probably not the best answer ever, but I did some some quick architecting here on my end during the break. And all right, so let's say you want to buy your little 5 acres and you live your dream life in your dream house, right? And you don't want a lard factory moving in next to you. So you either buy enough land around you to keep the smell away. That's an easy option. Or, I don't know, maybe you want to live in a neighborhood, right? So you can voluntarily get together with a group of people and buy up a bunch of land for all your houses and all the surrounding lands, so that if someone did want to buy or build a lard factory, they'd have to do it far enough away where you couldn't smell it. So
I like it, but I have an easy.
There you go, man.
Nanobots,
or heck,
with nanobots,
even if it happens,
fans.
Yeah, even if it did happen, and the lard factory moved in next to your neighborhood, and you guys don't like the smell, you can all pull your money together and offer to buy the lard company out, and they can move on to somewhere else. You just got to make it worth their while and not use violence. There you go.
Nanobots with tiny fans.
Or you could stick your nanobots on them. That's also a good idea.
You should have your nanobots chew them into gray goo, too. You know, I really think, like, at some point, I think, like, guns are going to be moot. Guns are kind of moot already,
yeah, dude,
because the government owns nukes and drones and hellfire missiles, but...
Sure, dude. And, like, nano drones that can pierce
like
your brain. Yeah.
Spy on you. Yeah, and kill you.
Totally, man.
Really, they can pierce your brain now? I'm sure they can.
Probably not. I might just be making that up.
I'll bet they're gonna make nanobots that can shoot tiny poison darts made of a chemical that is undetectable in the average autopsy.
Yeah.
Looks like a heart attack, which they already have, and like can deliver it. You know, in something
like those little ice bullets. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It dissolves. So it'll just look like you have a heart attack, and that's how they'll take out people they don't like.
Mm-hmm. And I can see that happening.
But you'll just have your, like, cloud of nanobots protecting you, like a force field that goes with you.
I'm really into this force field idea, dude.
Hey, it sounds like sci-fi, but so did a personal computer, and especially
exactly.
One that fit in your pocket when I was a kid.
Exactly.
When I was a kid, computers were the size of buildings, cost millions of dollars, and took teams of scientists with lab coats and clipboards to run.
But Michael, how will we have these nanobots without the government? Brayden asked facetiously.
We'll answer it the next time you're on. We'll do a whole show on architecture and how the nanobots will build your house.
Cool, man. It was a pleasure to be on again. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, man. Worms.